All right, good morning, folks. And welcome to Chapel for the Department of Business and Economics. Today we're going to be talking about integrating faith in our work, and some of us are headed towards business or are in business, and so we'll look at that intersection of business and faith. And we'll start out with Walt giving us a short meditation, and then we have two students presenting who were at the MEDA convention. MEDA is Mennonite Economic Development Associates. This is a group that runs a convention or conference every year, and so they'll tell you about their experiences and get you set for the convention coming up next year, which is in Richmond. So hopefully you can get the information you need so you can prepare to participate in that next November. So Walt.
Good morning. So I have two pieces I want to share with you this morning. The first is a scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, and the second is a reading from Henry Nouwen. Many of you may know Henry Nouwen, but this is from a devotional that he has called Bread for the Journey. It's actually from June 28th. So first, the scripture from Matthew. This is one that you're probably all familiar with. In Matthew chapter 20, after the mother of the sons of Zebedee come and ask that their sons be given privileged positions, Jesus says, this, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Henry, I think, expands on this a bit. He says, "The society in which we live suggests countless ways to go up. Make it to the top. Entering the limelight, breaking the record, that's what draws attention, gets everyone on the front page of the newspaper, and offers us rewards of money and fame. The way of Jesus is radically different. It is the way not of upward mobility, but of downward mobility. It is going to the bottom, staying behind the sets, choosing the last place. Why is the way of Jesus worth choosing? Because it's the way to the kingdom, the way Jesus took, and the way that brings everlasting life."
Good morning. Welcome to Chapel. My name is Andrew Yoder. I'm a junior economics, environmental sustainability major here at EMU. Currently, I am somewhere in the Middle East, I believe Palestine. And so here's a recording of my experience this past semester when I attended the MEDA convention in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. MEDA stands for Mennonite Economic Development Associates. It is an organization that works to bring about economic growth here in the United States, and around the world. And this conference, something I knew a little bit about. I'm from a Mennonite background, and so naturally I kind of understood that MEDA was a Mennonite organization, but I didn't know much about it. I received an email a couple months before asking business students to apply for this convention and be a part. Then I was like, shoot, free trip to Canada, and I get to learn more about opportunities for my future and also economic growth for countries. And so I applied, got accepted, and then went to attend the convention. And so myself, Alex Miller, and Jim Lehman attended. We flew out middle of November, and we're there for 4 days. Before the convention conference, Alex Miller and I were involved with the student case competition that they have at the MEDA conference. It's for all the Mennonite colleges. About four students from each college participate in a case competition. And the purpose of the case competition is for students to, they received information on an area, a country that MEDA is actually looking into working with for economic growth. And so Alex and I actually worked with looking into Ghana. We researched four organizations in Ghana that would be, could possibly help partner up with MIDA to help bring about growth in Ghana. And so one thing that is huge in Ghana is soybean production. So as a student, this was a great opportunity for me to do research and apply what I learned to present to actually members of MIDA, and they would look into our recommendations and perhaps implement them. And so it was a way for us to like prepare for the real world and give an example way of working with economic growth, economic development. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. We presented and we didn't win, but it was great getting to know many other students from other colleges and building relationships and relating with one another. And so I already there had a thorough opportunity with that. What else took place at the convention was we arrived and there were seminars, about three each day that we could attend. And a lot of the seminars that focused were geared towards students and like future career opportunities that they could have. They also geared towards faith, implementing faith within business. The theme of the convention was human dignity through entrepreneurship, meaning that through business and organizations like that, we can help bring about human dignity and human rights. And I can't think of a better thing for businesses to do. I think in our world, in our society today, so much of business is geared towards profits and only selfish your own gain. And I have a hard time implementing my faith within that. And so thinking about what MIDA is doing and other organizations around the world like that, it really teaches about bring about social justice and social change through business. And I think that is phenomenal. A lot of the speakers there, one of them was Malala's father. She was a recent Nobel Peace Prize winner. He spoke on the importance of human rights and treating humans as people. And that really, I really meant something to me. I really connected with that because I think so often I myself look at third world countries, developing countries, and see myself as superior, as my job is to help them. When really, there's so much that we can learn from one another. And a lot of the seminars really talked about how it is important when working with economic development to remember that what we're doing when we're interworking with them, we're not trying to implement our cultures upon them. Rather, we are working with their culture to help them bring about growth. And so it's extremely important to respect the culture and respect the individuals who are part of it, because they are just as valid, just as important. And so, for instance, for my case study, I was working with Ghana, and soybean production is huge there. And so the idea is, instead of implementing our own ways of growth here in the United States, we looked into soybean production. So we think of a lot of ways of increasing soybean production, how they can be more efficient, looking at their climate, using the resources that they have to make them be more more productive. And so that's a lot of what MIDA does. What's great about MIDA is that you don't have to be a Mennonite background. You don't have to be from a faith-based background. It is something that anyone can be involved with. While MIDA does take a faith approach, it is something that a lot of individuals can get teamed up with. It's something that that human rights is looked upon. And I think that's something that everyone needs to respect and works towards a great social cause. And I was just amazed at how much MIDA works around the world, countless amounts of countries. What was also neat is that there's opportunities for you as postgraduates to work with MIDA, whether here in the U.S. or overseas. Economic development is something that isn't just limited to overseas, but it's actually something you can do here through relationships, through talking, advocating. And so next year, I know the MIDA convention is going to be in Richmond, Virginia, which is about an hour or 2 hours away from here. And I highly encourage all business students, and if you have interest in MIDA and you're not a business student, talk to the business department. It is a great opportunity for you to learn more about economic growth opportunities that exist, especially through MIDA. And you will get to go feel like a member. You're amongst all these individuals, these people who are working towards growth and through business. And you'll get to learn from other students your own age and through these individuals and seminars. And it really teaches the fact about how to care for one another, primarily through business. And so I encourage you to attend, maybe just for a day. It is a phenomenal opportunity, and it's something that's really helped me think about my future and career and where I want to go and areas I want to work in. So that's definitely something I'm looking into, and I plan on at least attending the convention at least one day next year. So enjoy the rest of the chapel. Great talking with you. Yeah.
My name is Alex Miller. I've had a slightly different background with MUTA than Andrew has. I started working for the Sarasota chapter right out of high school. So I had more experience and knowledge on what they were about, which I think is good because you get a little bit of perspective from somebody who's had some experience with them and then somebody who's fresh with them going to a convention. So a lot of what Andrew was talking about was had to do with the actual student case competition and the economic growth, like their focus with MUTA. I feel like a lot of people, especially young people, students, they don't know about really what MUTA does. Like, I didn't know about them before until I got involved with them. But I think that there's this misconception that they're really, it's just kind of a small thing. Like, they're not really, they're making some difference, but it's not really that big. But really, like, in reality, they're big. I mean, they get like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to fund them, fund a good portion of what they do. They had like he was talking about the soybean production in Ghana. They had the project for that. We just had an event last week for a cassava project in Africa, and they do a lot of important work around the world. And they had speakers like Ziauddin Yousafzai, Malala Yousafzai's father, and they had Laura Ling, who was a journalist that was captured in Korea. And they just have great stories to tell about that kind of stuff. But besides just the economic development and growth and creating business solutions to poverty, my experience with MUTA was at the convention was hugely... It hugely revolved around the connections and friendships that I made there. There's so many, I've never seen a place with so many successful people and so many people with passion and drive to be successful and to make a difference in the world in one place at one time, as I have this convention. There's just, I got to talk to so many presidents, CEOs of firms, people who have made it where I want to be, and people who are really trying to get where I want to be also. The students that were there and that we got to talk to through this case competition, it was great to see young people with such drive. You don't always see that around campus. So, I mean, if you have a similar drive to that and you're trying to find like-minded people with that kind of passion, I really encourage you to go to this convention. Besides just the connections, the seminars that we went to and the experience that I had talking to people, I got to relate so much, whether it was economically related to business or in terms of microfinance, so much of that related to faith. And that was nice getting that, finding the middle ground between both of those, because a lot of times it's hard to, especially in business, it's hard to determine what's right in, as from a faith perspective. So for me, that was important. And like Andrew said, I mean, you don't have to be Mennonite to go to the MUTA convention. There's plenty of people there that are not Mennonite. It's nice to get different perspectives on that kind of stuff. But anyways, so the MUTA convention is just a good experience overall. I really encourage, if you're a student and you're interested in business or economics or just in helping the world in some way, I really encourage you to look into this Richmond event coming up. It's in November. The local chapter, I think, is trying to sponsor or to rent a bus to get a group of students and, I guess, other people interested in it to go on a day trip up there at least. The day trip it'll be good, but you'll probably get to go to some seminars if you go. I enjoyed the whole weekend. It was an intense weekend of a lot of learning and communication, and it really just kind of brought me out of my shell a little bit. This is like the MUTA convention as a whole was probably the best experience that I've had all of last semester. And when we were going up there, we were on the plane talking, Andrew and I, and we were kind of like, we don't know what it's going to be like. We assumed it was going to be kind of this boring thing with whatever, like just learning about business and meeting a few people and whatnot. But it was really something else. Like we talked on the way back too, and we were surprised, and we were all excited to go to next year's and to win next year's case competition, which we didn't show as much interest in leading up to it. But just as a whole, this meetup, the experience at the convention, the whole business solution to poverty and the faith integration with business and economics, it's good stuff. And I encourage you to get involved with it if you're not already. Thank you.
We want to give you folks a chance to ask questions. If we didn't cover something that you'd like to know, I'll offer a bit more information here too. I think at the convention there were something in the neighborhood of 600 attendees. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I didn't.
And it seems like every year there are at least that many, and depending on where it is, if it's closer to pockets of members, it's even larger. And so I'm guessing Richmond will be even larger than Winnipeg in November. The other schools that participated in the case competition, can you name those?
Goshen College, Bluffton College, and then there's the two
Canadian
Conrad Grable and Canadian Mennonite. Yeah.
And Heston was there too, right?
Yeah, I think there were a couple Hestons, but they didn't participate in the competition.
They weren't in the case competition, but there were students from Heston. So it's a great place also to network with students from other universities, and they plan some events specifically for students.
Yeah.
We got there a little bit late on Thursday, so we missed a pizza party, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But later in the week, we were all shuttled over to Canadian Mennonite University for a little social time there.
And and they also have seminars geared like towards students too. So like Andrew was saying, but I think the owner of the Hampton Inn Suites, he was there talking to us in our seminar about growth and everything, and our what to do after college kind of deal. So yeah, that's a big company. So but that was cool.
I'm interested to learn a little more about the case competition. What exactly do you have to do for that?
Yeah, so there were five. It was about soybean production in Ghana. They had the GROW program. That's what it was called. And they actually had somebody who worked in Ghana there as one of the judges for the competition. But there was five key facilitating partners, which would essentially be the people who meet a fund. And then they would be the ones that like distribute the soybeans and train the people to learn how to grow the soybeans themselves. And they would train a lead farmer, and that lead farmer would train other people. So it was a whole network of training and education on soybean production. But we had to pick the top three key facilitating partners based on the research that we did, and they actually. They were considering those seriously because they were trying to narrow theirs down to three. So they were actually using our judgment and our projects based on or to help determine which ones they were going to use. So it was actually there was some real impact that we were having. So that also makes you want to work harder and do your research correctly. So, but it was leading up to it. Andrew and I were both really busy, and we didn't have a whole lot of time to put into it, but the few days before the competition, and especially after we met some of the students there with their drive for it and everything, they're excited about it. They've been there before, and we really got going on it, and it was a lot of fun, actually. It was busy, but it was a lot of fun. So.
Each of the student teams, which ranged, I think, from two, you were the smallest group,
yeah.
Up to four or five?
Yeah, four students.
Each team was given something like 10 to 15 minutes.
I think it was actually 20, a 20-minute presentation.
20 minutes, okay.
Yeah.
Including Q&A, though.
Yeah, including Q&A. So 15 minutes in Q&A.
They had PowerPoints. They informed us of their research, their recommendations, and then the judges
ask questions to kind of dig deeper. So this was a whole afternoon.
Yeah, we're kind of disappointed because we missed a couple of seminars that afternoon. So and the seminars were one of my favorite parts, but it was still a great experience. Other people can come and watch the student case competition, and it was good. It was good material.
Alex, you talked about being able to mingle and then connect with other leaders in business. Give us one or two takeaways from that, things you were inspired to do differently or think about differently, or what kind of or opportunities you might have unfolded during this.
Yeah. Well, I'll just bring up my favorite example of one of the best entrepreneurial stories that I've heard there, because it's relevant to me. Hans Weaver with Menotti. He just graduated college a few years ago, and he started his business while he was in college. And him and a few other young entrepreneurs and then the college students, I got to talk with them a lot and experience a lot of conversation and mingling with them. And I actually did a kind of semi-informal interview with him that I used for my speech class last semester. But he was basically just telling me, start young. You don't have a lot to lose at that point. Like, start in college. That's what he told me. I don't know. I have kind of a heavy load. But but yeah, start young was the big thing that I took away from it. And also, just speaking with a lot of the other entrepreneurs there, they really focus on, like, social benefits. So it's not all about profit. It's multi-stream, and it's just a good experience. So I realized it was possible, I guess, and it might not be necessarily easy, but it's possible to integrate your concerns for the environment and for your faith and helping others and what's ethical and what's not ethical, like integrating all that into starting a business and growing that. So those are the big things I took from it, as well as just the connections to meeting people. So if if you're a student and you're looking for a job, this will not hurt you at all going to this convention, so.
Are you able to draw any linkages between what Walt shared at the beginning and what we've heard shared about, do you think of anything?
I did. I thought several, actually. So, there's nothing wrong with being successful. I mean, I say a lot of times in classes I teach, money is not a four-letter word. But you can have lots of sin in either how you get the money you get or what you do with it when you have it. So the idea that I think you can take away from this is that the folks in NIDA, and if you look at the website, there's a lot of stories like this. Business is a way to get people out of poverty. And if I am successful myself and plow what I earn back into a system to help others achieve this sort of goals and success that I have had, it lifts everyone. It's the argument that you often hear politically, that, you know, rising water lifts all the boats. And that's true. If the water, in fact, is lifting all the boats simultaneously. Some of the problems we have is that you might have a few boats in a lock, and they're getting all the water, and the rest of the boats are still way, way down. So they're not going to lift at all. This tends to equalize that.
Yeah, I guess for those of you who don't know, I guess I could elaborate a little bit on what they mean by business solutions to poverty. MITA's, they deal in like microfinance with local businesses. They help local businesses learn to grow and to be sustainable by themselves, so that once MITA's done in the place, they don't have to necessarily stay there anymore. They can leave, and then then the businesses can grow and the community can grow economically. I talked with somebody from that was actually working in Ghana with the soybean production, and she said that one of the stories from one of the lead farmers she said that they drew them a picture, and it was people leading. It was people leading them across the river, like on rocks or whatever. Oh no, it wasn't on rocks. Sorry, they were carrying them across the river, and how she described it was: these are the people that who came before to try to help us. And then, but then once the crocodiles came or whatever, then they weren't able to help them. They weren't able to carry them across the river anymore. So that's implying that they left. They were done, and they didn't know how to get across anymore. And then Mita came and took their hand and showed them a pathway across the river. And so then once Mita left, then they were able to get back and forth across the river. So that was just her way of putting it in the sustainable business solutions. So that's just a little story that I picked up from that.
It's a
sermon. I didn't get to make that into my into my presentation for this case competition.
Let's just have a prayer before we meet. We're so grateful to you, God, for your love and for life and for opportunities. And we're grateful for this time to learn about the work of Mita around the world and what they're doing to better the lives of many folks living on the margins, and to understand too that these improvements can take place through the work of business in bringing about solutions to problems. Guide us this day, and we're grateful for the opportunity to learn.